Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, on this Mitzvah Shabbos Kodesh, is daf Tzadik Beit. And we were in the middle of discussing the question of Eged Kli. So let's remember the situation. Somebody's got a bag full of different things, maybe fruit, mustard seeds. He sets this down on a porch. It's got three stairs. One of them is close to within the lovot of Rishus HaRabim, has a din of Rishus HaRabim. Part of the sack is on the top. The question is, do we look at the number of whole fruits that actually came out? Let's say you had apples, maybe one apple is on the bottom. Then you ought to be chayev, unless you hold eged kli ishmei eged. If eged kli ishmei eged, the entire thing is viewed as one thing, and therefore you would not be chayev, because the rule is that you don't complete otzah unless the entire thing that you're moving is in the nurishus. So if you go according to the kli, in this case the kupah, then you would not have done a hutzah. Now, the last thing that we learned yesterday was that Abaya and Rava argued about the same thing, and each one persuaded the other one of the other one being right. And so it turns out in the end that Abaya is the one who would hold that Eged Kli is not called Eged, and Rava would be the one who holds Eged Kli is killed Eged. And because of that, we got up to a contradiction in Rava and Abaya's Shita. This is now, we're at the Romi d'Abaya d'Abaye, the Romi d'Rava ad'Rava. So this is like six lines above the Mishnah. So now we have, and Tosis explains, we know for a fact that this following Maimer was said after they had already switched their positions and persuaded each other of the rightness of the other's position, and that's why this is a contradiction. I mean, otherwise maybe it was just said before. But anyway, here's the contradiction. It says like this, Hamotzi Peirot Rishut HaRabim. So somebody's carrying out Peirot Rishut HaRabim, and he still has his body in Rishus HaYachid, but he puts his hand out in Rishus HaRabim. And the question over there is whether he would be chayev if he's still holding on to them. So over there it says, Abaya Omer, biyad chayav. If he's holding on to them, then he's chayev. But if he has them in a kli, then he would be putter. And Rava says, on the contrary, if he's holding them in the hand, so then the hand goes according to his body. And because of that, he wouldn't have actually accomplished the transfer. Masha Enkein, if he would be in a kli, so then he would be chayev, apparently because eged kli, even though part of it is in the rishus from whence it came, is not considered to be eged, and if there were any fruit that were in the part of the kli in the new rishus, you would be chayev. Now, this is the exact opposite of how we said that Abaye v'Rava ended up being persuaded of the other one's pshat. So what's going on? Says the Gemara. Well, obviously we're going to have to flip this. And this is a mistake. So somebody who said it over assumed that they were still holding the same shitas and said it over like this. But after Abaya and Rava switched shitas, so inachinami, we have to switch the way that it comes out here. Anyway, but something's really weird about this, because it seems to contradict the opening Mishnah in the whole Masechet. Remember, the opening Mishnah had a case where somebody is holding money in his hands or something in his hands to give an ani. Remember? And as exactly this case, you're saying that if he would stick the peres into the Rishus HaRabim while his body is in Rishus HaYochid, it would be chayev. But that was the opening case on Dav Beis. And it says over there, Pashat Ba'al Habayit. The Ba'al Habayit is indoors. He's in Rishus HaYochid. He takes some peirot. He hands them over to the Ani, who's standing in Rishus HaRabim. And then the Ani takes them out, or he puts them, puts into the other guy's hand, and the other guy pulls them in. Both of them would be putter. Why would both of them would be putter if you say that Eged Yad is not considered to be Eged? Then I don't understand. Then he ought to be chayev, is what you're saying. The Mishnah is saying he's putter. Says the Gemara, yes, that's true. He is putter, but not because of that. He's putter because it was lamala mishlosha tvachim. Since it was three tvachim above the ground in the Rishus HaRabim, he therefore never did a hanacha. That was the problem. It wasn't an issue of eged. It was that, what was it put into? It wasn't put into anything. Therefore, the chisaron is that there's no hanocha. But here, where we're talking about where it's lamata mishlosha, and therefore it's considered to be essentially on the ground, so in that case, it has nothing to do with eged. It has to do with the question of whether or not there was ever a hanocha, which was the simple way of learning the Mishnah over there. Now, the truth is that this is not really all that poshut, because if you remember the sugya before, the din would be that according to Rabbi Akiva, he holds kluta kamisha huncha damya. And if he holds kluta kamisha huncha damya, then there should be no difference between lamata mishlosha and lamala mishlosha. And yet, for some reason, we said the same halacha would be true according to Rabbi Akiva. In any event, because of that and his way of understanding the sugya, Tosus argues on Rashi. Rashi understands that the point is that we're not discussing Eged, we're discussing the question of whether there was a hanocha or not. Tosus says, no, we are still discussing Eged. The only thing is that if you're lamata misholesh, then we consider it not to be mechuber to your hand anymore because it's already in the place where you set it down, despite the fact that you're holding it. Masha inkein, if it's above mishalash, then it's considered to be mu'ugad to your body. Okay, you can understand why that raises all kinds of questions in our sugya, why Rashi wouldn't wanted to have said that. Okay, we are now ready for our kapitan and the next exciting Mishnah. Now, how would you be motzi? Actually, let's say you're a righty and you carry something in your left hand, or you're a lefty, you carry something in your right hand. That wouldn't make any difference. Hamotzi bein b'yimino, bein b'smolo. For that matter, you've got something around your belt or on your shoulders. In all of these cases, you would be chayev, because if you think about it, it's carrying something on your shoulders, which you would say, maybe that's a little bit unusual, but that was the way that the B'nai Kahat actually carried the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. They carried it on their shoulders. So if that's the fundamental way of dealing with the Mishkan, then undoubtedly that is considered to be a modality of carrying that you're chayev on. There's an interesting Rashi who brings the Yerushalmi that the Raya is from the fact that Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen was appointed on too many things, really, to carry. And it says that he himself had to carry the Shemen HaMaor, the Ketoret HaSamim, the Minchas HaTamid, and the Shemen HaMishcha. So the Yerushalmi speaks out over there. He carried one in his right hand, one in his left hand, one around his middle, and one on his shoulders. So that basically covers all of the issues in the Mishnah. Okay, very sweet. In any event, all of this would be chayev. But if you do something to kill a achar yado, which is entirely the unusual way of carrying it, or you put it on your foot, or you're carrying it around in your mouth, now as Tosus points out, when we say you're carrying it in your mouth, it's not referring to food. We already had before. If you're carrying out food in your mouth, that would be considered to be the standard hotzah. You're carrying it in your elbow. You put it in your ears. You tie it to your hair. Or you put it in your money belt, but your money belt is facing downwards so that the money could fall out. Or you put it between your belt and your waist. Or you put it in the cuff of your pants. Or you put it inside your shoes or your sandal. In all these cases, it's potter because people don't usually carry in this fashion. And it's not secure. It's not the way that you would want to carry. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Hamotzi Masui Lamalam Yasar Tvachim Chayav Shikein Masa B'nei Kahat. Here's another issue. Remember, the other issue is that when you're talking about Lamalam Yasar Tvachim in Rishut HaRabim, you're in a Mokum Patur, correct? You're not in Rishut HaRabim. So now if you would throw through the air space of Asara Tvachim and it would land above 10 Tvachim from the ground, you would not be Chayev on Hotzah. However, here what we're saying is that if you carry it Lamala Me'asara Tvachim, then you would be Chayev on Hotzah. And the reason is because if you analyze how far above the ground were the things that B'nai Kahat were carrying, you would see that they are Lamala Me'asara Tvachim. How do we get that? Well, one weird way we get that is, let's think about what they carried. So B'nai Kahat, they carried the Mishkan. So it says over there, they carried the Mizbeach. But before we get to that, how tall was the Mizbeach? So we can figure out how much of it was above their shoulders and how much was it was below. Now, the Pashtus in the Pasuk, it sounds like it was Shlosh Tefachim. And it turns out that the Gemara has to prove that actually, no, that's only referring to the upper piece of the Mizbeach. Remember, it was constructed in stages in three different pieces besides the Kranot. And the fact that the Pasuk says, Ala Mishkan ve'ala Mizbeach Saviv, means that there's a hekesh of a Mizbeach to the Mishkan. Now, we know that Mishkan was 10 Amot from the fact that we know the height of each one of the Krashim. So that must mean that the Mizbeach was 10 Amot. And when it talks about the curtains around the Mishkan being 5 Amot, the Gemara comes out, remember in Zvachim, that it means 5 Amot above the top of the Mizbeach, so that it was 15 Amot total on the curtains. Now, it says that Vayifrosa to oil ala Mishkan. Now, that's a very difficult thing to do. Because if the Mishkan is 10 amos high, and it was done by Moshe Rabbeinu himself, as we can see from the pasuk, but Rav points it out over here, Rav, it was Moshe Rabbeinu who was the one that was pores the ohel al hamishkan, the upper covering over the lower coverings of the Mishkan. So from here, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu must have been able to stretch over the Mishkan, which was 10 amos high. So it's got to be that Moshe was 10 amos high himself, which probably means that the Levium were 10 amos high. And given if that is true, that the norm is, the kol tuna demidle b'moto titilta mila'el v'trei tilta mitla tachat, the norm is that when people are carrying things on poles, the way that the weight is split up is always to have one third up and two thirds of it going beneath the pole. Then that would mean that the 10 amos high Mizbeach would be 3 1/3 amos above the ground level. And 3 1/3 amos above the ground level is 20 tefachim, not within 10 tefachim, nowhere near within 10 tefachim. In which case, it's clear that you do not have to be within 10 tefachim in order to be chayiv. Now, just in case you think that that sounds a little bit mythological, let's get down to earth. You don't have to have 20 feet high Levium to prove this. Actually, you can just take a standard person's height and learn it out of the Orein, because the Orein was Tisha and the Kapores was a Tefach. Okay, so you have a total of Asarat Tefachim. Now, again, assuming that anything that you carry, Gemir de Kol Tuna de Midle B'Motot, is the one third on top and two thirds on the bottom. So then it turns out that it was still Lamala Mi'asara Havi. It needed to be more than 10 Tefachim above the ground, in which case, even if the Levi is a normal height, you've got this problem. Let's say Levi is normal three amos height. And therefore, we shouldn't have to go to the Moshe height. What bothered you, asked the Gemara? V'li Gemara mi Moshe, what was wrong with learning out of Moshe? Look, even if you want to talk about Moshe being 20 feet high or whatever, 15 feet high, or the full 10 amos, you would have no way of deriving from there that the B'nai Kahat were unusually tall. Dilma Moshe Shaini, Dilma Mar, Ein Ashkina Shora, Ela Al Chacham, Gibor, Ashir Uba Al Koma. Because when you're talking about a Navi, especially you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we have the general rule that the Shekhinah does not come on a person who isn't a Chacham and a Gibor and rich and tall. So therefore, okay, the fact that Moshe was unusually tall is just a symbol of his unusual Nevi'ahs. But how do you know that that would apply to anybody else? Omar Rav Mishum Rebichia, Hamotzi Masui B'Shabbat Al Rosho Chayev Chatat. Suppose somebody does one of these Arab carrying tricks and likes to play around carrying a lot of things in a big basket on their head without even holding on. Wow. Look, Ma, no hands. Is that normal? Or is that just a little bit show-offy and crazy? Well, says the Gemara, yes, he would be chayav achatos. You know why? Because in Hutzal, this is the way they carry things. Who the heck cares about Hutzal? Anche Hutzal, Ruba the Amo, what are you trying to prove to me? So in Hutzal, everybody's crazy. Thank you. I mean, what does that have to do with what? Why would be chayav? No, you're right. It must have said like this. If somebody from Hutzal would carry in this fashion on his head on Shabbos, he would be chayev because people in Hutzal are crazy. I mean, people in Hutzal carry this way. Shekein b'nei iro osin kein. Ask the Gemara, but if people in Hutzal are crazy, then why aren't we mevatel their das to everybody else's das? I mean, isn't there a din, like we said before? Tibatel dato etzo kol adam. Something, we just had this discussion when we were talking about somebody who only felt that moving his entire house is choshev. We would never say something unusual is considered to be a norm because somebody's doing it. Now, Tosis points out that isn't really true, because in other Gemaras we see that we can be koveya something based on a locale. So there's two elements of being koveya something based on a locale. Element A is that it's a large town, not that it's like, you know, a bunch of nuts that it makes sense to say people in Hutzal are crazy. You know, you're not going to say the entire city is crazy if it's a large city. Plus, it would be something that is applicable to other people. In other words, it happens to be the case that Tosis brings would be a case where, let's say, they have an enormous number of peaches, and that this is what they deal in, and this is the town of peaches, and therefore they carry peaches in this unusual way. So fine, so other people that would have those number of peaches would undoubtedly carry things that way also, except nobody has those number of peaches. Then you don't say botla daite, and then it becomes indeed an effective way of carrying. But over here, we're not going to say about Hutzal something that even if other people were carrying what it was that Hutzal were carrying, nobody would never occur to anybody to show off and carry it on your hand and balance it as you're walking down the street. So therefore, in this case, we would say that it should be botol daita. And in fact, ela itmar, hachi itmar, what it actually said was the opposite, that somebody who carries something on his head is potter in this fashion. And if you ask me, why should he be potter? People in Hutzal do that. I will answer you, botol daita, eitzel kol adam. And therefore, it's irrelevant. Continues our kapitan. Hamit kavein lo tzilefanav ubalo laacharav. So suppose somebody wants to carry something around his neck, let's say, and he wants to be able to keep an eye on it, you know, like those little wallets that you carry on under your shirt or something when you're on the plane so you don't get them pickpocketed. Well, it actually flipped and it went around to the back. Now, in that case, you would be potter because that is not the way you wanted to carry it. And therefore, your machshava was not mitkayim, as if you were being Isaac in one thing and something else happened. I wish you guys would stop using the WhatsApp in the middle of shiur. It's extremely irritating, both in sounds and in notifications. So, in any event, in that case, you would be potter. How about if you wanted to carry something behind you and it flipped around to in front of you, then you would be chayev. I was going to discuss why that would be true. Be'emet amru, for sure, this is halacha that's mekubal, that ha'isha ha'chogeret b'sinar, bein milafanea, bein milahacharea, chayevet. Shekein ra'ui liyot chozer. If a woman puts something into her panties to watch it, she puts a $100 bill or something, she knows perfectly well that it's going to flip around. And therefore, it's considered to be included in her das initially for the act of otzah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mekablei pitakim. This is also true for people who carry around a lot of letters for the government. Now, Rashi says, I don't like the pshat that I'm telling you, but it's the pshat I was taught. But I got to tell you, it really bothers me, this pshat. So the pshat that he was taught was that what we're talking about over here is not about where it is that they would carry these things, But it's a new issue that if they had in mind that they were supposed to transfer a particular bag of mail, let's say, to a carrier who was a courier who was not available, and they choose another courier, so then it's not considered to be against what the original plan was to carry it out for. Obviously, that's nothing to do with our Mishnah. The other Rishonim don't learn like that. So it simply means that when people are loaded down in that fashion and people are scared anyway of pickpocketing them because they're government couriers, so that's also considered to be something that they take into mind, lechatchila, that things can flip from front to back, similar to the last case that we had about Hayisha Chogeret B'Sinar. Now, ask the Gemara, what's the difference between the two cases? You said if you wanted to carry it in front of you and it flips around the back, over there you're potter. I mean, isn't that because your planned act didn't work out? Why isn't that true in the other direction also? I mean, if you wanted to carry something behind you and it flips around to the front, I mean, it's the same thing, no? It's not what you wanted. So isn't it not what you wanted? Isn't that the whole point of a Malachas Machsheves? Omar Rabbi Elazar, yeah, you're right. There's no way of resolving this issue. Clearly, it's one of those cases where a Mishnah is bringing up two antithetical shitot, and the one who said the first one is not the same time that said the other one. Says Rava, what? I understand. Well, what's your problem, Bechlal? Isn't it pretty obvious that if you wanted to carry something behind, in front of you, and it went behind of you, the reason that you're potter is not because it wasn't precisely what you had planned. It was because it's of a different quality than what you had planned. Look, you wanted it to be in front of you because you wanted to keep your eyes on it so it wouldn't get pickpocketed, right? So therefore, if it turns out that it flips around to the back and somebody can take it off of you without your noticing, then it runs counter to the whole point. So over there, obviously, you now have a Shmira Pechuta when you wanted a Shmira Me'ula, and it was not the Malacha that you wanted to do. But in the other event, you were willing to accept even a Shmira Pechuta. So you put something behind you, you figured, okay, if anybody's going to try to break into your backpack, you'll feel it, whatever. So if it comes around the front, that's going to be a problem. On the contrary, you were willing to accept even a Shmira Pechuta, and Altabi Ador Shmira Mula, so for sure it's good. Look, if you may feel a little bit uncomfortable, fine, so you'll put it behind you again, but there was no Chisorin in the actual way in which it was twisted around. I don't understand what your question was. Ella, my question, you're missing the point here. The point is not what's the difference. The point is that the Mishnah, if you analyze it and you're medayek, you end up with a contradiction in the Mishnah. That was the thing. It was completely misrepresented over here. Look, let's read the Mishnah carefully. Ella, my kushya, diyuka demasnis in kasha. It was the implications that were problematic, not what was stated. So let's start at the beginning. So somebody wants to take something out where he's able to keep his eyes on it. He flips around the back, it's potter. Now, does that not mean that? Obviously, if his intent was to carry it behind him in the first place, that is not considered to be a normal type of hotzah. Because that's exactly what the point of the Mishnah seems to be. So if it was something that was the original kavana was to be in front, even if his kavana was to do a proper hotzah, if it didn't work out, he would be potter. The implication is, suppose he wanted it lechatchila, however, to be in back, and that's where it went, it was in back. There was a problem here only because it was a flip in his kavana, right? But if it wasn't a flip in his kavana, that's an acceptable way to carry things. So that would mean he should be chayev if he wanted it to be behind him, and indeed, it was behind him. Now, let's take a look at the end of the Mishnah. If you wanted to carry it lachorav and it came lefanav, then you're chayev. Mashman, if you wanted to do it lachorav and you did it lachorav, you would be potter. Because that's not considered to be a decent type of hotzah. So how do you explain that? That's what Rebbe Elazar is referring to. Tavra, Misha Shana Zo, Lo Shana Zo. I don't see that you're helping anything. That's not really true. the way that you're reading those implications? I don't get it. My Kusha, what's the problem over here? You can read it very simply. Dilma lo mi baik amar. The Gemara is, the Mishnah is not trying to say that that's the reason that you're chayev. It's saying even though it flipped, you're chayev, not because it flipped. So in other words, lo mi boi lacharav ubo lo lacharav dechayev disavidei machshavto. Not only if you had wanted to carry it behind you and it did stay behind you, would you be chayev? Well, why not? That's what you wanted to do. But even if you wanted to put it behind you and it came in front of you, where over there you might have thought that saka dait chamina hoyo v'lo yisavid machshavto lo lechayev, since it wasn't what you wanted to do, so you won't be machayev. Therefore, the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush, even though it was different than what you wanted, but it's better. And since it's better, if you were mitkaven l'shmira p'chutav, al tabi yado shmira mu'ula, that you're chayev. There's no contradiction that I can make out in this Mishnah at all. The truth is that the question of carrying something behind you when it's not a good shmira, whether that's considered to be a hotzah, a la'acharav, ubo lo la'acharav, it stays there, that is actually machlokas tanoim. Because, look at this, it says, somebody who carries money in his money belt. So this is a belt that opens from the top, you could stick things into it, and he sticks money into it, so then he would be chayev, obviously, because that's a normal way of carrying money. How about if he put his money belt on backwards, upside down? Okay, so he figures the pressure is enough to hold things securely in the belt. He's willing to take a chance. So he still puts money into the belt. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, you're chayev. The Chachomim say, no, that's not normal. That's potter. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachomim, I atem odim l'acharav ubo lo l'acharav shu chayav? Are you not willing to admit that if somebody had wanted to carry something behind his back and it stays behind his back, that he's chayev? And they say to him, and you are not you moda, that the Mishnah says beferish, that if you carry something on your foot or kalach or yad at your potter, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, okay, so now we've got an argument. I said that in my opinion, this is what it's like. Ani amarti davar achad, ve'in amru davar achad. Ani lo matzati teshuvah ledivrehem, ve'hem lo matzu teshuvah ledvarai. Basically, we seem to have different opinions about this whole thing. They can't explain why it's not similar to my case, and I'm unable to prove to them that it's not similar to their case. Now, if each one says, I atem modim, don't you agree? Isn't that mashma that the Rabbanan actually potter in that case, and they don't agree? What? So if that's the case, and when the Rabbanan said to him, and don't you agree, the la'achar yodo, that what are you going to say? That he's b'chayev, Rebuta's b'chayev, and la'achar yodo? How can you say that? It says b'feirish. La'tanya la'achar yodo v'raglo divrei akol poter. Nobody argues on that. That was the Mishnah. It wasn't only going according to one shita. It says b'feirish in the bright. Everybody agrees to that. So that's a ridiculous way to understand the machlokas between them. The question over here is what case is it similar to, not what do you hold about that case. Of course, that's the way to read it. So therefore, we need to understand like this. Look, if it really were similar to la'acharav u'balo la'acharav, everybody would hold that's chayev. You were wrong to say that that's a machlokas. And if it was similar to the case of la'achar yado v'raglo, everybody would hold it's potter. The question over here is, what is the way to understand an upside-down money belt? Puntato upi alamata. Mar medami le'la'acharav u'balo la'acharav, u'bam medami le'la'achar yado v'raglo. So here it's simply a question of understanding the way that people look at such a thing. Do people rely sufficiently on pressure that it's not worse than having your backpack on and leaving your wallet in your backpack despite the fact that people could go ahead and pickpocket you? Or is it worse than that? Is it really stupid? Because, I mean, all you need to do is move around a little bit, shift your weight, and the money will fall out. And do people risk that kind of thing? But that's merely a judgment. Nobody is arguing about the facts as given. Be'emet amru, Rabbi Yehuda omer, afakab le'pzakim, tana shekein lavorei malchut osin kein. the official government tax agents, that's the way they carry around the papers. Sir Richard, we're back. We're really putting you through your paces tonight.
Definitely calls for overtime.
No question about it. That means you'll have to pay us a little bit more Talisker.
Okay,
you carry out a loaf of bread to Rosh Hashanah and you're chayav. What if two people carry out that loaf of bread together? Then they would both be potter. Now, in the event that you carry out something where one person cannot lift it, and two people together can lift it and do lift it, in that case, there would be chayiv, because then that would be the normal derech hotza'ah. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, in that case, you would also be potter. So that would mean we have to see where he would get that from. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, v'amr le Omer Abaye, or amr le, it's actually a braita. It's much more complicated than this, because really it's based on how we understand the psukim and also another machlokas about how we understand the concept of a misayeya. So first, let's take a look at the shitot. We've got really three situations. We have zeyachol, v'zeyachol. So we have a situation where either one of the people would have been able to carry it by themselves. So like the case of the kikar, right? So then the halacha would be that, according to Rabbi Meir, both of them are chayev. I don't care whether the person would do it on his own. Our Mishnah, therefore, is not going like Rabbi Meir. That's for sure. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon both hold, in this case, like our Mishnah, that actually that is not considered to be the derech hotzah, and that you would be potter. How about if neither of them can carry it? Ze eino yachol, v'ze eino yachol. So here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree that you would be chayev. So in this case, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah continues to say what he says, and it's just that Rabbi Meir agrees with him. So everybody are agreed that if neither of them would have been able to on their own, so then this is the derech hotzah. Mashenkein, it's not the derech hotzah to have two people carry a loaf of bread. It's a little ridiculous. But this is a normal hotzah, so why would you not be chayev? But in this case, Rabbi Shimon is poter. And the third possibility, one of them is able and one of them is not able. What's the din over there? The din over there is that everybody is made that he is chayev. Now, who he is not all that clear, and that is going to be discussed in the Gemara. Tanya Nami Hachi, and in fact, the Braita brings this out. Hamotzi kikar l'rishut harabim chayav. Fine. How about if two people take out the same loaf of bread, Rabbi Meir mechayev, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, look, im lo yachol echad lahotzio. If neither one of them could have been carrying it on their own, and then two people came, yes, in that case, I agree that you would be chayev. But if not, and either of them could have taken it out by themselves, and instead they do it together, that's not normal. And because of that, piturin, because he is not doing derech hotzah. Now, this implies, since we find Rabbi Yehuda all of a sudden appears on his own, not with Rabbi Meir, so it implies that Rabbi Meir holds, even in this case, you would be chayev, and it's Rabbi Yehuda who's saying that we have to distinguish between the cases as to whether it could have been done by each one alone or not. But Rabbi Meir doesn't care for some reason. And Rabbi Shimon potters in both cases. Okay, so where is this based on in the Torah? Minani mili, the Tanur Rabbanan. It says in the Pasuk, Ba'asota. Now here, we're back to the Pasuk that gave us the entire basis of the Achas and Achas Mihena and all of that discussion was in terms of how we understood, not particularly the din vis-a-vis Shabbos, but the din of the Chiyuv of Achatas. And we're going to look back in that Parsha to see what it seems to be telling us about the act that the Chatas was being brought for. So, it says in the Pasuk, V'im nefesh achat techteh bishkaga mi'am ha'aretz ba'asota achat mi'mitzvot Hashem asher lo teyasena. So what is the point of ba'asota? I mean, you want to talk about somebody who did a wrong thing. So all you need to say is, ba'asot achat mi'mitzvot Hashem asher lo teyasena, right? And the asota doesn't make any sense. So asota implies this act in its entirety. And that would mean, hose et kula, the one who takes the full brunt of the act, and not somebody who does the act only partially because somebody else is involved. So let me give you some examples. Ketzad, what do we mean by that? Suppose that two people, they grab a pitchfork together and they're putting all of the straw in one place. So then they're going to be over on Ma'amer. Or two people hold that stick that's being used to arrange the shiti thread, the warp thread, and it's obviously something that is normally done by one guy, one weaver. Or two people hold a pen and they write together with the pen. Or two people take out a simple kone, which weighs an ounce, and they take it out to Rishut HaRabim. So you might think in these cases, since what they did was a malacha, the bottom line is they should be chayev. No, Talmud Lomar, ba'asota. It's something that has to be done in its entirety by you. And if there's another person that's involved, that would mean that you are not the one that's responsible for it. Velo semiktzatam, because of that, since you only did part of it, you would not be chayev a korban chatas. But if you're carrying something very heavy, like an igul shel dvela, which that, I mean, that before it's cut up, that can weigh like, 100 kilo. So there you've got two people that carry it, and they take it out to Shulchan Aruch, or they have this big korah. Maybe that doesn't weigh so much, but it's very, very long, difficult to carry a 20-foot-long korah. So two people carried it out. So then the halacha would be that Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, this is exactly the point. If it's not something that a person could have carried out on his own, now I'm saying that it's a question of whether he could, not whether it's necessarily that it helped him a little bit. But he could not have done it on his own. And then he took somebody else to help him. Then they would both be chayev. But if not, it could have been done by himself. Then they're potter. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, even if one of them could not have done it on his own, they're still potter. That is the whole point. That's why it says ba'asota. That means only, ba'asota means not ha'oses kula v'lo ha'oses miksasa, but ba'asota means that person who did it. So a yachid sha'asa achayav, shnayim sha'asa'uhu peturim. Okay, tomorrow we will see the way we spoke about this, if you recall back on Daf Gimel, that really ha'oset kula v'lo ha'oset miksata is much more like the question of the original case in the Masechet. One guy does the Akira, the other guy does the Hanacha. And not that two people together managed to do the Hotzah. So the second Pasuk that Rabbi Shimon says, now that seems to address this case much more fully. Yochid, the question over here is it an individual or can it be done with two people? But that's not the same thing as doing part of the Malacha, is it? So part of the Malacha is to apply the idea that if you're doing it together with someone, then that you're only doing part. I mean, that's not 100% clear, is it? So we have to analyze tomorrow the reality of the Pasuk, which is that there's really three separate diukim from this Pasuk, and therefore don't jump to conclusions just based on our discussion tonight. So it was a little bit misrepresentative of what the real issues are. Bezrat Hashem, see you in the morning. Meanwhile, have a wonderful, wonderful Shavua Tov u'mevorach. Hinei El Yeshuati, Eftach v'lo Efchad. Kol Tov, everybody.